Amen. I know a lot of times when people hear the word money, they clam up money, 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 money. All the church you want is money. And this church will tell you that Peter does not beg for money. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, and he'll give into man's bosom. So if you don't give it, he'll send it some other way. And he has done that often. In fact, I tell people that this ministry started with a call. So this is why I'm so big about doing our things on the internet and doing our podcast, because there was somebody who was watching a Facebook Live about 5 years ago now, and God touched his heart, and he sent this ministry a check for $7,000. Sight unseen. I never met the guy to this day. But he sent the Safe House a check for $7,000, and that started this equipment and all the things that you see to help us go forward. It started us getting into this building. It started us getting in our physical location. And therefore, I tell people, you know, you do what you want. You know, you can be stingy and all this kind of stuff. I'm not worried about it, because God got somebody somewhere. And I am a living witness to that, because God sent somebody to for the Safe House Church. You know, at that time, I was looking, and my wife and I, we was pretty much out on our own. Amen. You know, we left another ministry, and they didn't usher us out for nothing like that. And, you know, so, you know, we were just like, Lord, what are we going to do? And we were just doing, we just started with a cell phone, amen, a cell phone on Facebook Live, and it just started from there up into what you see is being birthed now and what is going. And now we went from what, just she and I, amen, and our family now to, you know, another family, Jordan started to join us, amen, and then we found the Perrys started joining us, amen. And then from the Perrys, amen, we found the Nicholsons, amen. And then from the Nicholsons, amen, then we found the Hickses, amen. And then we got the Bullocks and the Williams, amen. And we just continue to grow, amen. And I'm grateful for church growth. I'm grateful, which tells me that maybe something is going on in this place. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're watching by way of the internet, that give us an opportunity to come on by here. I promise I'm going to try my best to be better on time. Amen. And just come on by here and worship with us. Just hang out for a while. You ain't got to do anything. Just hang out for a while. But I promise you, your life will change when you come to this ministry. I don't say that clichely, but some others will be able to tell you that their lives have changed by this ministry. There were some who came in who didn't have, you know, that was struggling and was wondering things about education and that, and God gave them insight and God gave them inspiration, amen, and they changed their whole job career. Oh, come on, somebody. And some got jobs, and God has blessed. The Safe House Church has been fairly fertile, amen. We got 2 or 3 babies out of this ministry already, but God has just been good to us, amen, as a church and a ministry, amen. And even though we're not that big, God has financially given us savvy, amen, that we can start to build our church and towards as we move into more of a endowment situation, amen. Yeah, amen. You know, because our church is going to be run off an endowment, amen. Y'all giving that, you know, it's going to be taken care of. Because see, the giving part is what? That's your faith. It's your faith. God told you to give what? Based on your faith. That's why he said, I love a cheerful giver. So it's based on your faith. But God has blessed us to have a little savvy, amen, that what we're going to do is we're taking our money, we're continually saving it, and then we're going to endow it. Oh, come on, somebody. And then when we endow it, all we do is what? Our church is going to live off the interest. Mm-hmm. Because I don't believe that we should be in debt. The Bible said if you're in debt, what, you're always indebted to who? The lender. So I've been trying my best. I've been teaching you off over the last year or so. Get out of debt. This is a better time than any other time I know of in any point of my life, amen, that we can get out of debt. And I know God has blessed many of you all with some financial windfalls and some of you with some monies that you've not been used to having. And I'm telling you right now, get yourself in position, because this thing is going to turn. And when it turns, you want to be in position that you have prepared for that. You know, I even got an interesting email last week, something about my student loan. I was like, Lord, if you forgive that thing, come on, somebody. I'm telling y'all, that thing is real. Go check your email. Amen. I've been paying on that loan for a little while now, almost, I'm right at 10 years, amen. And they got me an email, so I'm like, Lord, if this is you, we'll take it. So y'all know that's sending for sure, because y'all ain't going to be able to find me. I'm just going to be a blur running back across here. Lord, you gave that $150,000. Maybe it's just me that's been that kind of dead. But I'm grateful. And the Bible said, what? All those things are what? Are stored up for us, right? That's what he said. I'm not telling you I don't owe it. I legitimately owe the money. But he also told me that he had a cattle on 1,000 hills. Any good thing that he would not hold from me. So what, I am a tither. I work. I live holy to the very best of the Holy Ghost ability in me. So why not me? If they can forgive thousands for banks that do whatever with the stuff, why can't he do it for the people of God? Why can't the people of God prosper? Amen. So what? He told what? About, in the Bible, he gives it to a, he gave one talent, gave one, two talents, and you know the story goes on to five. And so with that one that had that one talent, what did he do? He went and buried it in a hole. Said, God, I did well because I kept my talent and I buried it in this hole, and here you go. And he said, what? Just give me this. You don't know what you're doing. That's what he essentially said. Because I gave you this as seed to do what? To prosper. So what we're doing here is, like I said, we're taking what God has given us, amen, our ministry. You know, we're able to operate pretty much off some, you know, bare things, amen, and we're great, and operate great, and we continue to build up, and we got $200,000-$300,000 in the bank. We'll go over there and go endow that thing, and we're going to make $30,000, $40,000 a year off that, and we're just going to continue to feed that endowment to God making a million. Oh, he said, speak those things as if they were. He said, write the vision and make it plain, didn't he? So I'm writing the vision right now. I'm casting vision to you right now. That thing going to grow, and we're going to continue to, as we continue to pay our tithe and our offer, we're going to continue to give to that endowment, to that corpus. And that corpus at some point in time is going to be over $1 million. Oh, come on, somebody. And since it's over $1 million, and on average you make 10%, that means we'll get at least, what, about $100,000 a year? Uh-huh. I think we can run our church off $100,000 a year. Amen. But you remember, we also will cast a vision, and the vision is still the same, that we want to be impact to this community. So how we be impact to this community, and if we broke? The Bible does, you know, he said he don't take a whole bunch of people to do what he want to do. Amen. It just takes the right people. Oh, come on, somebody. They what? They're on one accord. And when you're on one accord, if you look in the Bible, throughout the Bible, when they were all on one accord, that's when things happen. So what am I saying? I'm casting vision to you again. That what, at some point in time, we're going to own a building in the downtown Greensboro area. We're going to own that gym that we want to own. Amen. We're going to own that community center that we want to own. This is why it's the Safe House Church. Amen. That is what, it's a church all the time that the kids in this area, because right now the kids don't have anywhere to go. The kids don't have anybody to function with them and to take care of them and pour word into them. So what are we doing? We're preparing ourselves. That's why I said, Lord, as long as you take care of me at job, oh God, I don't need anything from this ministry, oh God, because I'm committed to the call. Because I see vision. I see far beyond where this is right now. I just see that it's going to be a building downtown that all of a sudden is going to go bankrupt, amen. And they're going to be looking for somebody to take the building, amen. And because we're 501, 503C, amen, and we got our business in order, amen, that we're going to be in position, oh God. Come on, somebody. Hell, who else is believing God with me this morning? Because I heard my uncle say on his yesterday, now, he has a church out in Kansas, and he talked about how they got their first building, amen. And their first building, the lady wanted over $100,000, and two or three people had made offers on it. And he came there, and she said, well, what is your offer? He said, we don't have any money. And as he told the testimony, he said, we don't have any money. And the lady looked at him and said, well, how would I supposed to sell this to you and you don't have any money? He said, well, we don't have any money, but we would like to have the building, amen. And she said, well, I don't know if I can do that. So he said that they walked off and they went on home. And he said the next day, the lady called him. Oh, come on, somebody. He said the lady said she could not sleep the whole night. That she said that God told her to sell them the building. And she said, well, I cannot just give you the building. You got to have something. This is why we got to have something, amen. So when our opportunity and time comes, this is why the Safe House Church got to be open, amen. So when the opportunity and the time comes, maybe they all don't come in 100 at a time, but they come in one at a time. They come in as one at a time. And as you continue to collect, all those ones add up over time, amen. And what he continued to tell us was that as they came in and they asked her, and she said that, well, I can't just give it to you. She said, do you got, I think he said, was it $35,000? I mean, no, $45,000. And she said, $45,000? He said, I don't know if we can do that. And I think that it didn't, you know, I think it maybe was high. I think she asked for like 60. And he said, no, we don't have that kind of money. Then she went down, she said, I got at least have $50,000. Can you do at least 50? And he said, he looked around and he thought about it. He said he knew he could maybe leverage something that he had, amen. And therefore they got that building for $50,000. That was a $100,000 building for $50,000 to have that church. And he said the first Sunday they had church, there was a bullet hole in the door. Oh, come on, somebody. Because the enemy didn't want that, amen. It was an old lawyer's office that they had gotten. Amen. And so this is why I keep telling you all, we have to be transparent with our testimony, because you don't know who's listening, who's in a situation, who's in a circumstance, who is being what empowered by what you are saying. So I was kind of just listening on the side, because my father was really over there, the one listening to it. But as I was listening to it on the side, and I was trying to do other things I needed to do, and I was trying to do some work, but these things were being implanted in my spirit, amen. And it started to root and take ground in there, amen. And then he goes on and he talks about how they got their new building, amen. The building they got right now is over half a million dollars of appraised, amen. And they were doing the dedication for their building, and this is what these services were. And he talked about how they started this building and how they built this building for half of what it was, amen. And that what God sent them a contractor, and he told this, the contractor did not charge them one dime. Come on, somebody. He said the only thing they did was buy some of the licenses that he needed to do the work they need to do. Oh, it gets better. Then he was talking about how when they got to the point, they needed the furnaces. And I think he said they had like four different furnaces. You all know HVACs don't cost an arm and a leg, amen. They cost $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 easily for a church. And what he was saying there is he went in there and he started to minister to the guy who owned the furnace place, amen. And he said, lo and behold, the guy brought it and they gave them four furnaces. Come on, somebody give God some praise, amen. I don't know about you, but that just strengthened my faith to let me know that when God is in the thing, this is how they built a building for $250,000 that was worth $500,000. When God is in the thing, he knows how to line you up and put you in place with the people. So this is why I'm telling you all, don't be weary in well-doing. That it matters to somebody. That's somebody who's paying attention. That's somebody who's saying, you know what? I know they all ain't bad, amen. I know that there's something different about them. I know there's something authentic about them. It's just something about them I can't put my hand on. I can't put my finger on, but I can't turn away. I can't walk away from them. I can't just put off to the side. And that's that thing that we call the Holy Ghost that's living inside of us, amen. It's that thing called the Holy Ghost that sets it free, that changes us and sets us free, and people feel different, and they can't act the only way they want to act. They can't say whatever they want to say. They can't move the way they want to move. They can't walk and talk the way they want to talk, amen. And I'm grateful, and I'm here to tell you today that I speak right now on this day of Sunday, October 17, 2021, that God is going to bless us with some building downtown. I don't know which one it is yet. I'm just going to speak it. I'm going to claim it, amen. And I'm going to do more than claim it. We're going to start to walk that thing out, amen. Because we want to have an impact on this Greensboro community, amen. We've been talking about it for years. And we've been building up, but I know that God is moving us. And as the things change, the Bible says that what the wealth of the wicked are laid up for the righteous. We just got to be in place when the transfer occurs, when the transfer comes, amen. I'm often reminded that oftentimes, as I talk to Brother Jordan, and every time I see him, I talk to Brother Jordan, he done found him another great deal, amen. So I know I got the right people in the house, amen. Come on, somebody. That it's going to be somebody that's going to be doing the right thing at the right time, amen. See, a lot of these things are God's blessings, is about timing. The Bible says what? That chance and time happens to us all. Oh, come on, somebody. Which means that a lot of this is based on what? Timing. It's like time. God has a time. The Bible says it like this in Ecclesiastes. They have a time to be born, a time to die, a time to pray, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to laugh, a time. You know, he goes on and on and on, right? So there is a time and a season that God has. Why? Because we're not the only ones in the earth. He has to wait till some things happen. He has to wait till some people get moved in the right position. He got to wait till some things open up. And then what? And then he has to wait till what? We are ready. And then when we are ready, then what? We're going to have this nice gym that will be a gym all week long. And when it's time for us to have church, we'll pull out these chairs like we do now. We ain't got to have no fancy pews. We ain't got to have that, because what? The church lives inside of us. This is the building where we're going to gather. We're going to come together. We're going to celebrate. We're going to help kids. And we're going to open up little computer and education things. Why? Because God's given us a place full of educators. You know, Sister Pam reads, and I do math, and Brother Alex do science, and Sister Taylor do science. God has given us all we already need. He has, and it's already here. But what? We just got to what? Work it and keep going and keep going. And that's some grants. You know, God has not blessed me to be a grant writer just to make my schools rich. But what? He's given me that skill set so that what? When the time comes, because you all not know there's plenty of things out there now. But when the time comes, are we ready? And the truth of the matter is, we're not ready yet. But we're getting closer. But we're not ready yet. If they dropped us a $2-3 million grant right now, we wouldn't be able to handle it. I know that and you know that. So what are we doing? We're trying to get ourselves in position. Because the money is there. I promise you, at any point in time, more than any other point in time in history I've seen now, it's there. But it's also there for you to mess it up too. And therefore, we got to be in position so that what we do things right and in order, and as we do them right and in order, then what? Blessing brings on other blessings. Do y'all not ever see that one that say, like, they often say, what, money makes money? And it truly does. So we got to get to a point that we're in position. And when we're in position to do things, then what? God will send more. And they'll send more. And he'll send more. And all we have to do is be what? A manager and a good steward of that which he sent. So this is what I've been preaching to you and teaching you all year long, that we need to be a better manager of our resources. So I promise you, church, let's get out of debt. So we don't have to be a slave to that thing. Amen. You know, I'm doing my best. Amen. I got one bill. Lord, take care of that student loan. I am completely done besides my house. And I'm grateful. I didn't think And it's been a long road. I told you all about the truck I paid for 15 years. That one I still drive. Because I learned some things about that. And I believe when God's people are free, it's easier to come here and worship when you ain't got a bunch of debt. It's easier for me to say, can we go do this and can you do that? Because what, we're running wild because we end up chasing things because we're trying to get out of debt. So as we talked about money on this week, let me go on and get in here and get y'all out of here. Y'all pray for me. I got to get on a flight this afternoon, so y'all can't be in here for long. I'm going to New Jersey, Newark. I've never been to Newark, so y'all pray for a brother. Amen. I know it's so close. It's really close to New York. Got a little work I need to do over there, some things I need to do. But nonetheless, God is good to have a good flight and then I get back here safely. Amen. To you all. We'll still be praying. I can pray. That ain't changed. I'll still be praying. I'm still on the East Coast, so the time is still the same. But we'll be up there on this week. So if you would turn with me really quickly, as we talked about, we've been talking about, like I said, last sermon, we talked about the first sermon was money. Money is a universal language. So we talked about what money was and how money came to be and how it formed and how we end up using it and how it ended up coming because of a specialty while we got what we got on the money. But now today I want to change gears a little bit and we're going to talk a little bit more about money and your faith. Amen. And again, I'm not going to ask you for a dime. Don't need to, because I believe the word of God is self-evident. You know, sometimes when people feel like they're going to get asked something, they turn off. So I'm telling you, don't turn off, because I'm really not going to ask you for anything. Just like I told you last time, I'm not. But I want to teach you some things and show you some things of the word of God that God has laid on my heart for you in this word on today. So I want to go to Matthew, the 26th chapter, and we want to start around verse, let's go about 20, no, verse 10. Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 10. I think those out here, I think I got y'all today. Let me see if I can switch this. Okay. So now the people on Facebook and Zoom and everybody's liking me again. Hopefully y'all get verses today. Amen. Amen. All right, let's read it. It says this. Pull it up on my phone. So we're on Matthew, the 26th chapter, and we're at verse 10. And it says, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ornament on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that the woman having done, be told for a memorial of her. Then it goes on down to 14, and it says this. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest and said unto him, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. He saw opportunity to betray him. If I were to use for a subject today, what did you do for your 30? What did you do for your 30. As we read this story here, we find that there's two separate stories here, but they're back to back. We find the story of the alabaster box woman, that this woman that here, she comes to Jesus and she breaks her expensive box of oil and puts the ornament on her, on the ornament on his feet. And the thing of this being significant is that this woman was a woman not of great means, that this woman did not have a lot of money, that this woman, in fact, was poor, amen, by their standards. And since she was poor, what she did is she saved all her money. You know, you can imagine almost like a life savings that she had saved to buy this box of anointment oil. She probably bought this oil to be able to put on the feet of Jesus. And when she finds Jesus, she comes to him, and she essentially, what she does is give him all she has. By giving him the alabaster box and breaking the box, when she broke the box, the expensive perfume oil that was in the box started to pour out of the box, and she started to rub and massage his feet with it, and started preparing, as he said, prepare his body for the burial, because he knew that what, that the day was coming. He knew that it was time was coming for him to prepare himself, to give himself for you and I. And what this woman did is that she gave her all. She took what she had, the little money that she had, she took it and she bought a box of oil. And that box of oil, from what they tell me from doing some research, is that this box of oil cost her probably almost a full year's pay. And for her to put that box of oil on his feet is a sign of her giving all. To say that, well, look, Lord, I would take what I have and throw it at your feet, Lord, so that I can be on the mercy of you. And what we find here is that what Jesus does, what he blesses her, he tells them not to touch her, he tells them not to pick her up and not to move her, that what she did was a good thing. What she did is what she gave all, she sacrificed to him, and in return he blessed her. In return he did something for her that money couldn't do, that he set her up a memorial. The Bible says that, but for her there would be a memorial. If you know anything about a memorial, we see statues and things all across this country that we've been arguing about for the last 8 to 9, 10 years, and these things serve as a memorial. A memorial meaning that I will always be remembered for whatever. And now you find a woman who took 1 year's salary, that one year of oil that now is on the feet of Jesus, serves her for the rest of her life and is in life to come. In fact, if you notice today, we're talking about her right now. And because we're talking about her right now, it's still serving as a memorial unto her, a memorial to what she did. Who would have thought that her sacrificing that one little bit of money that she had, that one little piece that she had, would speak to her for years to come, would speak to her for decades to come, speak for her for centuries and many, many eons to come. And yet here it is in 2021, we are speaking about her right now. What did you do for your 30? So then we move on to the next story, that we find that Jesus is preparing himself for the burial. He knows that this thing is coming. He knows that death is imminent, but he does not know exactly in what form it's going to come. But he knows that it's going to come. And what we find is in the house of Jesus that he has what, the 12 disciples, and one of them he already knows is the devil. Amen. You know, that's a saying that said, keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. So here in the same house, he has Judas with him. And what we find is, I believe that Judas may have been in debt. And because Judas was in debt, he found himself doing things that was probably out of character. I don't know about you, but when you get to a point in time, you find yourself in debt, you start thinking about some things that you probably wouldn't normally do if you weren't. You find yourself making some decisions that you probably normally wouldn't make. You find yourself doing things that you normally wouldn't do. Why? Because you feel the pressure of the debt. You feel the pressure of that which you have to do. You feel the pressure of you owing somebody that you have to get off of you. So what we find here is that the chief priest, it wasn't any and everybody, but it was the chief priest who came to Judas and asked Judas, what was your price? And what they did is they decided that they were going to give Judas 30 pieces of silver. It was 30 pieces of silver that we find out that he betrayed Jesus for. And I look at that number 30 and I said, why is this 30 pieces of silver? Why is that significant? Well, one thing we know, that silver is really like a secondary metal. Amen. That is good and it is a precious metal, but it doesn't hold the same weight as what we would call gold. Amen. That gold would hold a little bit more weight than silver. Amen. But silver is still nonetheless means something. It's second fiddle though. So what we find here also now, we find that what there was 30 pieces. And with 30, I find 30. I said, Lord, what is it about that number 30? Well, we know that number 30 represents a couple of things. If I get my thing to come back up here, come on. It represents a couple of things. You know, I look at the three. The three itself, by itself, represents what? The Trinity. Amen. That we know that there's the Trinity. We talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. That three is what also represents strength. That strength, why do we see strength in three? Because, well, the Bible tells us that a threefold cord is not easily broken. When you think about a chair, when you think about stability, you think about at least three. When you want something to be stable, you want at least three legs on it. And then the Bible says, well, we also know that three is the number of creativity, that there's some creativity in there. But then we find the zero behind it, the three behind the zero. And the zero means what? Infinity. Amen. There's nothing that you can actually put on it. Zero is one of these things in mathematics that we cannot quantify. It's one of those things that we sometimes use as a placeholder because we don't give it value. Amen. But zero has a value in itself that it has, in fact, has such a value that we cannot even label it. Oh, come on, somebody. This is why we use the number zero. So when you multiply 3 times 10, we get the number 30. And we know that 10 also represents what? The individuality of a thing. That when you see a 10 stands alone. Amen. When we say something is a 10, it stands by itself. When we say something is a 10, that we have what? Put it on a pedestal. When we say something is a 10, that it can stand alone. So therefore, the 10 stands for individuality. But then we look at it again and we say, well, 5 times 6 is 30, amen. And when I look at 5 times 6, I know that 5 is the number of grace, amen. And that there's grace. And with this grace being there, that God is what? A God full of grace. And we know that 6 to be the number of man, amen. So now if you multiply 5 times 6, which gives us 30, that the grace number, the number of man being 6, amen, that together this is what? The ransom that's being paid. And what we find that we know, we've already talked about money, that money, number one, is based off a faith system. Number one, if you want your points for today, that's number one. That money itself is based off faith. Amen. If you go ahead and you look in the United States in 1973, they stopped using gold as a standard. What does that mean, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. What that means is that before then, what meant that every dollar you had, they had one piece of gold that was equivalent to it. Amen. So that if you didn't have a paper dollar, I could give you a gold bar for it. So if a gold bar was worth $80, then I could give you $80 for it. But what we did as a country is what we devalued it and we took away the gold standard. What is that? Why is that significant? I'm glad you asked. The reason why that is significant, because what happens is now is that we can print money like you print money on a milling machine. Oh, come on, somebody. And now the money only has the power that the people give it. Oh, why you think it says on the back of your dollar, in God we trust? Because they have trusted in some faith, in some system, and the rest of the world has faith in the dollar. And that's the only reason the dollar has not fallen. You don't believe me? Go Google it. So therefore what? Now the money's not being backed by anything. So now that the money's not backed by coins, it's not backed by gold, that way it does not have any standard. Just what? A week or two ago, what did we do? We raised it means that we told the mint, go print some more money. And go print some more money. And you know what? At Christmas, they say, you know what? We're going to have to raise it again. So what are they going to tell them to do? Go print some more money. At some point, this thing has to stop. So what did the Bible tell us? He tell us not to put our trust into this thing, this system. Because this system is based off a world faith. And when the world finally loses faith in the United States dollar, y'all ain't seen nothing yet. This is why we have this thing right now. We're on the borderline of what they call inflation, which simply means that what? There's more money to go around. So therefore, people start raising the price of their goods. Have you seen the price of a vehicle lately? They say it's plenty of money around. So therefore what? Raise the cost of the vehicle. Then they say, well, there's plenty of money around. So raise the cost of the gas. Now the average cost of gas is about what? 305, 308, 310? Why all at the same time? Your paycheck hadn't gone up. But let me tell you something that's interesting about inflation. If you got debt, your debt doesn't increase. So this is why God has been, I believe, put it in my heart to be teaching you all and telling you all, this is the time to get out. Because if you owe 300, you still owe 300. Whether my dollar's worth 300 in the lawyer or not, it doesn't matter. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are y'all catching what I'm saying? This is why they put interest rates on them. Because they have to have that interest rate on there so they won't lose too much to inflation. So what was worth $2 is now worth $5, but I only paid you $2 for it. So I only owe you what? Two. I just devalued you. And a lot of you, like I said, when you have things that you're in debt with, this is the time to get out. Why it's devalued so that when it goes back up, you don't owe as much. And you did what you said you was going to do. Oh, come on, somebody. That's the kind of God we serve. So this is why when the world is going down, we are going up. Because we don't trust this system. Because he already told us that this system was not for us. He already told us that this system was corrupt. He told us to what? Put our treasures where moths couldn't get them. He told us to put our treasures where? Where it was incorruptible seed. So it wouldn't be corrupted. So number one, the faith system. Seek his system and not their system. Because if we continue to seek their system, then what? We'll be moved by every time they say they got to do something. We'll be rolling every time they say they got to do something. And all these things will what? Come to affect us. And this is how we avoid this. Why? Because we're in the world, but we're not what? Of the world. So what does he do? Number two, he said, change in value accordingly. So what do we do? So you notice here that Judas collects 30 pieces of silver. But what he finds out is that 30 pieces he has is not worth what he's just done. His 30 pieces of silver, he finds out that was really pennies for what he's just done. For really pennies for who he just ransomed. Really pennies for the betrayal and what he did. And so much in fact, what we find out is what does Judas do? He goes out back and ties a noose around his own neck and takes his own life. Why would one do that who just came up? Why would one do that who just hit the lottery? Why would one do that who just supposed to got over? Because he didn't get over. And now he realizes it later that he's been bamboozled, that he's been taken to the cleaners, he's been cheated. And what those same ones, what who was it? The priest. It was the priest that was among them that did that. So what? We have to make sure that what? The value system of the world is not our value system. And I know we got to have things and we got to do things, but let's be careful that what? We don't start just chasing that. Because the Bible said that what? Our blessings will run us down and run us down and take us over. If we're doing his will. If we're doing his will. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things should do what? Be added unto you. This is why when you're out there, you're doing what you do, Brother Alex. Somebody come up and say, can you come and cut my yard? He's adding these things. You don't have to seek the business. They come to you. And you get to turn it down. You just do what you're called to do. And you do it with greatness. And you do it with gladness. And you do it with cheer. And you do it with the right attitude. And I'm telling you, they're going to come to you. And you're going to have so much work, you ain't going to know what to do. In fact, that's one of my problems. I got so much work, I don't know what to do. And I try to do everything. I got to do better about it. I'm talking about me. So at the same time, so this is what he's telling. Because what happens, even in those blessings, we can get off track with that we get so busy doing all these things that we've been called to do, all these things that we have been blessed to do, that we can lose focus. So let's be careful that we don't lose our focus in all our getting, that we get understanding, and that we don't lose our focus chasing these things that we get as we move forward. So ask yourself, what would I do or what have I done to get my 30? Some of us have ransomed our souls to get our 30. Because what, we'd rather be at work than be at church. We'd rather be at work than study our Bible. We'd rather be doing these other things. What have you given up for that 30? And I'm telling you today that as we look at Judas gave up a whole lot for that 30. And he didn't realize what he gave up for that 30. And what I wanted to do today is to get you to understand and realize how much are you giving up for that 30? I call it the dirty 30. What are you doing with the dirty 30? Is the dirty 30 worth it? Is the dirty 30 worth it? Yes, you got this and you cheated somebody out of it, but is it worth it? Yes, you stole this and you took that, but is it worth it? And what we find is at the end of the day that Judas took his own life and didn't even spend the money that he took. In fact, I think the Bible said they took the money that he made, and they took it and they bought a field to bury him in.
Nobody even wanted to be fooling with him because of what he did. What good was that? The same money that he took was what? Now the money that he took went to bury him in a field. Number three, he said, give way to earthly desires. Give way to earthly desires. What we want to put in front of him. We have to be careful, church, what we put in front of God. I know it's so easily done, you know, in the day when, you know, when we get in and we out here and we doing our thing, but we got to be careful. And I'm talking to myself because it's so easy to get thrown off sidetrack. Because you say, well, I'm just going to do this. And well, I'm going to do that. And I can talk about me. I have a bad tendency to underestimate things when it comes to time. Because I try to do so much sometimes. Like, oh, I can do that, and I can do that. And I won't, it ain't because I can't do it, but sometimes it takes me more time than I thought. And what happens is, and that's what often happens to me another time, then it's like, oh, that bled into that time. And that bled into that time. Until I find myself sometimes up in the wee hours of the morning trying to get something done because I said I could do it. And it didn't take from the fact that I could do it. It was just that it took more time. And because it took more time, then that affected other things. And what I find at the end of the day, sometimes we make the decision, well, I got to finish this. And so since I got to finish this, then I can go to church later. Or I can read my Bible later. Or I can do this later. And then you be like me, and I can tell on me sometimes. So then you'll be up there reading, and you're so tired, you fall asleep. You're so tired, you can't get up. You're so tired, your body's about to tell you, you're about to go down. And we have to be careful, just brothers and sisters. And I'm warning you, and I know I'm preaching to myself, and I should just need a mirror up here, and I can see myself and just tell myself, we got to be careful. Why? We got to keep first things first. Day. God has blessed us, and he's given us these things, but we got to watch for what? I call them good distractions. It's a good thing, but it's still a distraction. It's a good thing, but it's still a distraction. Because see, what that lady did is what? She gave what she had, and because she gave what she had, he made sure that she had what she needed. And I'm here to tell you today, it's not one person in this house that God has not made sure that you had what you needed. And you got a lot of the things that you wanted. And we just have to be careful, church, that we got to make sure that we ain't just doing anything to get this dirty 30. This dirty 30 that, you know, all things go, all money ain't good money. Mm-hmm. There's such a thing called blood money, right? There's such a thing called filthy money. And all these things that we chasing, and all they do is take one thing to happen, and they devalue the dollar, and then you ask yourself, was it worth it? Was it worth it? You can't buy your health with it. Well, technically, some people say you can, but at the end of the day, you really can't. Yeah, you can get better service, you can get better care, you might get a better doctor and all that, but at the end of the day, if God ain't put his hand on you, you're still not going to make it. Ask Steve Jobs. He can buy anything he wants. Can afford it, no problem. And he still ain't here. And there have been others. So we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, that we don't get into this thing that we be like Judas and we end up selling ourselves for a dirty 30. Because as Judas thought that he was getting Jesus, what he really was ransoming was himself. Think about that for a moment. What he really was giving was himself. And we have to be careful that what? As I do this, what am I giving myself? I find myself and you find yourself sometimes we work really, really long hours. And some of you, you know, you might be like me and say, I'm a salary employee. Which means salary means, I tell people, that means they just work the hell out of me for free. That's what I tell them. That's what that means to me. That they can just work the hell out of me for free. In that I can be here from 8 to 5, but some days it might require me to be there at 9. And in some instances, if you really look at it, you make less than you started out with. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there is some security on the other sides of this that, okay, you don't have this. But, you know, as a school teacher, I know most school teachers, you know, your work doesn't start between just 7 and 3 o'clock. That's probably more the rest period. The work is what? When you're at home and you're grading papers and you're calling parents and you're trying to figure out what's the best strategy to reach these children. Mm-hmm. And you're at home and you're stressing out there and you worry about the kids more than their own parents are. in some instances, because they don't have anybody to work for them or worry about them or a parent to care about them. God sees that and he knows that, and this is why he looks out for you. And he takes care of you, and he makes sure that you have what you need. God knows. He knows. And we have to trust that he knows. So don't get so caught up in chasing all these things. And let us be better stewards of our resources and things that God has given us, and be and use those things to his glory and watch God work. I believe that God has called the Safe House to do a tremendous work here in the city of Greensboro. They have not seen anything yet. We just getting started. You know, as we prepare for the holidays that are coming, we've been working and trying to see if we can get this lot. Amen. See if we can get this lot. We're working on it. We're going to see what happens. And hopefully we'll be able to get this lot and we'll be able to bless some people with some of the things that God has allowed us to be able to buy to help some people, because it was cold this morning. And you can imagine being out there with nothing else. Amen. And if you have heat in your house and was able to put on clothes and keep warm, that's a blessing. And we want to be a blessing to other people. I really do believe with everything in me that God is going to open up a building around here for us. Amen. You know, I love renting here. It's not a problem. They've been very, very, very good to us. Amen. But God has called us to more. Amen. And I tell God, Lord, Lord, that means since you call us to more, that means you have to give us more to be able to do that. Amen. You know, obviously, we need some more help in this ministry. You know, we need people to help us, you know, run media stuff. And we need things for our website and all these kind of things. We've been reaching out and we haven't found anybody. But I believe just like God sent Brother Gabe to us, he'll send us somebody else. Amen. We're going to keep doing our part. We're going to keep trying. We're going to keep going forward. Amen. And God is going to send that, and he's going to fix it. And when he fixes it, it's going to be all right. So all we got to do is, like, keep believing.